Hey, welcome to Living Undivided. I have to admit, I'm kind of having a fanboy moment because today's guest is someone that has deeply impacted my journey over the last year, as all of us have been dealing with so much going on in our world. So I'm excited for you to meet him. Get to that in a minute. But first, if this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, you know what? We talk about race in this podcast, and we talk about it because it's hard to talk about. We talk about it because oftentimes conversations around race can be stilted, or you can feel like, man, is there a place for my perspective at the table? And yet, Living Undivided is a movement where thousands of people have come together across racial lines over the last 5 years to have meaningful conversations to bridge the racial divide, and not just conversations, but then mobilized to action to make a difference in communities, our country, churches, organizations, and literally around the world. And so every week on this podcast, I want to bring you someone who is doing that, someone who is stepping into this uncomfortable, fraught space, particularly in 2020, with a word of hope, with the power of unity and reconciliation, with love, with grace, and with goodness. And that's why I'm really excited for you to meet my guest today. I'm a big student of the civil rights movement. And what you'll find in the civil rights movement is it had a soundtrack. It had a soundtrack. Songs like Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around, songs like We Shall Overcome. These were songs that literally galvanized and kind of embodied the spirit of the civil rights movement. And I do believe that 2020 is a year where, once again, we're having a reckoning around race. We're having a reckoning around dignity. And Dee Wilson is at the forefront of that. And I'm going to go on record as saying I think he's one of the people writing songs that we'll be talking about when we think about the movement of unity, love, and reconciliation that we're in right now. Dee is a Chicago musician and songwriter. He's one of the leaders of the Common Hymnal, and we're going to talk about that a lot. He's a worship leader and a creative content producer for Faith Church. He's husband to Jen. He is the father to Adele, and he is with me today. So would you welcome Dee Wilson? Dee.
Chuck.
Ah, man. I got to tell you, I am so excited to get to connect with you and spend time with you. And I want to get right into it, man. Like, 2020 has been such an incredible year, a difficult year. And I came across your song, The Medicine, and it just spoke to the moment. And I know that that's kind of an outcropping of something God's been doing in your life. So just take us there. Take us to this year and what you've been doing musically this year, and where that's coming from in you.
Well, musically this year, I've been shooting from the hip. and I've spoken with my friend Malcolm Duplessis a lot this year, because we've been at the same time trying to figure out how to put out music that was scheduled, you know.
Yes.
And so but in between that, you know, in between figuring that out and trying to essentially retool the car as you're driving it down the road, we also run into moments where everybody just sort of stops and stops what they're doing, and it's almost like, again, it's almost cliche, but it's like, where were you when, right? And so we've had a lot of those moments of where were you when you heard the story of Breonna Taylor, where were you when you heard the story of George Floyd, you know, where were you when you heard the story of Elijah McClain? And it's like in for me, also going to a predominantly white upper middle class church, there's a lot of conversations that I have to have now, and a lot of educating and listening and learning that we have to do as we try to not just make it personally, but make it as a church, make it as a community, and make it, make it still unified on the other side.
Yeah.
So one day, and I'm pretty sure that's what gave me back problems, and that's why I had to go to the chiropractor.
Wow. Literally, the weight of the world on your shoulders, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so in the middle of them dealing with back issues, I go to the chiropractor. Eric Mason, you know, is one of my favorite preachers in the world.
We share that in common. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's so amazing. And he almost always nails it, like, and that's very hard to do. Like, but he gets it. He nails it so often that you sort of wonder, like, man, what's going on in your head, you know?
Right.
And so after a month of protests, probably months of protests, months of political jargon back and forth, Eric Mason does a sermon on Sunday morning. And in it, he mentions the sickness. I want to say, like, he kept saying, like, there's a sickness, or this is a sickness.
Yeah.
And I'm driving home from the chiropractor, and it just hits me in the chest differently than how it normally does with him. Because, he always hits me in the
right.
chest.
Right.
But this time, it was even more different. And the first line of the medicine, as I'm driving down the road, it comes to me. There's a sickness here that threatens to divide us. Mm. And I floored it.
maybe broke a couple of local speed limits.
Yeah, absolutely, I did for sure. Allegedly, right? And so
allegedly, that's right. The evidence doesn't exist.
It's nowhere anywhere. And so I got home as quickly as I could. I went right to my keyboard, which is right next to me here. And my wife and daughter were home. I was like, leave me alone. Don't talk to me. I think they were on. She was like, "Mom, I'm about to go to the store." I'm like, "Great, take your child, please." Like, and so I sat down, and the only other time this really happened to me was when I wrote Rose Petals. But the words just like,
wow,
one after the other. It wasn't much effort in writing, and I wrote it in probably 45 minutes, maybe.
Wow.
And spent the rest of the day trying to figure out how to play it. And then shooting from the hip, I just recorded that video and put it in. Like, there was no plan.
Right.
It wasn't act, you know, nobody knew I was doing it. I just threw it up, you know.
Man, well, I'm going to show my churchiness for a moment and say that was an anointed moment. Mm. And I want to just unpack what I mean when I say that word. I do believe, and I'm you're clearly gifted, and you've written many songs, and all of them have had a level of inspiration that needed to come from outside of yourself, whether that was a community or prayer, whatever it may be. But then there are these moments, and it sounds like that was one of them for you, where I just call it like a direct download from God's spirit to you. Here's what it is. You don't need any outside help. You just need to lock yourself in a room for 45 minutes and just let me flow through you. And the medicine is that. And it's the kind of music, honestly, that Common Hymnal produces. There's an ethos there. So talk a little bit about Common Hymnal, the purpose, and kind of how that came to be.
Yeah. So Malcolm Duplessis, who is a South African now living in America, he's lived in America for, I don't know, almost 30 years probably. He actually gets a prophetic word in the year I was born. I won't even say that, maybe the month that I was born, actually.
Wow.
That you will move to America in a time where it's more dangerous to live in America than it is in South Africa. If you know the story of South Africa, right? Like the story of apartheid and racism, how racism wasn't just a spirit in the air. It was actually a mechanism of the church and the government, right?
It was the law of the land. That's exactly it was the law of the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the law of the land and of the church. And so he's living in that. He lives through that. He moves to America. And literally he says, I moved from South Africa to South Africa. Wow. I moved from, you know, an institutionalized systemic racism that had infected both government and church, and then the marriage of the two, from one to another. So he works in the music industry. He makes a name and a reputation there. And then eventually he wants to start aggregating sort of the misfits of mainstream church, especially music, in a way where we can start to broach some of the subject matter that, you know, mainstream worship doesn't necessarily lend itself to or give itself to. Worship with a social conscience, worship with a deeper sense of, we can't just create a church that exists in escapism. We have to actually create a church and a worship experience that is aware of the world around it and ministers to that, not just in spite of it.
Yeah, no, I was having a conversation with a worship leader, and this young woman said that. She said, we found ourselves without songs for the moment that we found ourselves in 2020.
Yeah.
Yep. Literally, there was a songbook that was missing and a songbook that was literally being written. I think that God has gifted you to be one of the people who are writing songs that the church collectively needs to be singing in this moment. And so Common Hymnal does that. And so just talk a little bit about, you know, what's that been like for you? You mentioned your context, and I share that context. I minister in a predominantly white church in the Midwest. And so as these conversations and things are happening around race, it's a challenging space to step into in many ways. And obviously I've given my life to that. It's still challenging.
So
talk a little bit about that as the medicine is coming out and Rose Petals, which is a powerful song, is coming out. What's happening in your church community as these songs are birthing out of you and out of Common Hymnal?
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, the leadership that I serve under and serve with starts to take notice, and to their credit, they've done such a good job of listening and learning, because it's not just for me, it's not just songs. I post pretty heavily, and I don't mince words, you know. And
right.
So for us, it's been like, how do we together, you know, like in what ways can we listen and learn and hear from each other? And again, like the goal being to move forward still together. So for a long time, the music itself is one thing, like, and the music sort of because you can stop, you can pause music, you can skip it, or you can just miss it entirely. The music hasn't super been a sticking point. They appreciate it. You know, they know that I write, you know, a lot of music and things like that. What actually has been the case is, when real world situation happens, I'm generally the one in the meeting going, hey, we have a service on Sunday and we can't ignore this.
Yeah.
We have church coming up in 3 days, and far be it from us to participate in the escapism and allow our people to not engage with the world around them. We can't let it be said of us that during this time, we just sang Oceans More, we can't do that.
About Jeremiah 6, I think it is, where he says the people have said peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I think that it's on the church to make sure that we're not doing that, that we're not the people that are saying, hey, all is well. And like you said, singing Oceans, I love that song. We can't always be in triumphalism with our music when there's real lamentation happening in the hearts of people in the world.
Absolutely.
And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had amazing conversations. We've done videos. Our pastor this year has had to really has been really challenged to not be quiet anymore. And even if he doesn't, and even if you don't have the right words, even if it's clumsy, I'm cool with you being clumsy as long as you don't have me standing next to you when you're clumsy. be clumsy on your own, and I'll stick up for you. But at the same time, you have to say something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Man, and so I love hearing that, because I can relate to that, and I know a lot of people who are engaging in certainly in this podcast, maybe in those similar church environments, and I do think there's power, and it's so easy to understand why there is a divisiveness in churches on Sunday mornings. It's easier to be with people who tend to feel or think the same way you do, but we miss the miracle, we miss the mystery of what Jesus died for if we don't sit in these tense spaces together. And I do think the arts is a big part of that. So talk a little bit about, in the intro, I talked about this, that the civil rights, let's not forget that that movement had a soundtrack. I mean, music and art was a critical part of what was mobilizing and motivating and embodying the spirit of that. What do you see as the role of art in this moment for the church, and particularly music, but even beyond music?
Yeah, I see the role of art as a musical mirror or whatever, a beautiful mirror, a creative mirror to what is happening in society that doesn't just reflect what's going on, but allows people to see themselves in it. When I wrote Rose Petals, I learned this lesson all too well, because it's such a striking song. And so I was dealing with people's visceral reactions to it. And there was so much offense and anger sometimes. And what I would tell people is, hey, I had no idea you were going to listen to this song. When I wrote this song, I wasn't thinking about you. I wasn't aiming it at you. I wasn't aiming it at people like you. When I wrote this song, my goal actually was just for people to recognize, be aware, and to grieve. Yeah. So the anger that you feel or the offense that you feel isn't coming from a person that was aiming anything at you. Like, it would be the same as if you saw a painting of a horse and that horse offended you. Well, it actually says a lot more about you, the viewer, than it does about the painter of the horse. So I think the role of art is to allow people to see what's going on, but also allow people a mirror into their own feelings and emotions. And if we can build a place where folks can be aware without judgment, then we can move the ball a lot further down the field.
Yeah. Well, you said something there that is like easier said than done. How do we do that? How have you seen success in building places where people can be aware without judgment?
Well, you know, Common Hymnal is one of those places. You know, one thing that isn't super known about us is that there are a lot of different viewpoints that come together in Common Hymnal, theologically, politically, systemically. Like it is a hodgepodge of different folks.
Yeah.
And so we have to write songs together. We have to eat dinner together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we have to have sometimes very tough talks with each other that aren't like necessarily trying to win anybody over or prove a point, but just for understanding's sake. I think there has to be a deep resolve in the community that is participating in these types of conversations, that we're not going to leave the table. We're not going to disconnect. As tough as it is, as much as it hurts, as frustrating as it can be, we have to be more committed to being together than we are to being right. We have to be more considered to reconciliation than we are to being, you know, on the right side of whatever allegiance we find ourselves in.
Yeah, you're preaching, bro. You're preaching, and I think it's connecting with something. I'm reading a book right now called The Holy Longing, and I love it. It's a book that was written in 1999 by a Catholic priest, so it's outside of the context of 2020, but it's speaking to me in particular. And one of the things it's helping me to understand is what you just said, what it means to have a high view of community and a high view of God's church isn't to have a high view only of the rituals. And oftentimes we can think about that. People who have a high view of the church have a high view of the rituals of the church, right? You know, we have to have a certain expression and form to church. Nothing wrong with those things. But what you just defined is really what it means to have a high view of the church. It means to recognize that God's put me at the table.
Yeah.
The people who think differently, who vote differently, who look differently, who have different theology. And a high view of the church is a commitment to not leave that table. That's what it means to have a high view and be in the community together. So I love that. And again, it would make sense that in that place of tension, in that place of growth, there's incredible creativity happening. Yeah, and there's incredible things that are happening there.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things, I think, the big swing and misses, or maybe even not swing, just the big misses of a pandemic in which we can't gather at church normally, is that there are, you know, and God bless them, but there are so many people that were so tied to, man, we need to be in church because we have to do this and we have to do this and that. And it's like, but there are people, you know what I mean? Like, and so what the ritual means, it, as powerful as the ritual is to you, God intended for us to, you know, to enjoy these rituals while living.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, are you willing to sacrifice or put at risk the health of image bearers of God so that you can have your ritual? And if you are, we have to figure out where we've become misaligned between the love of ritual and the love for the human form that God has.
Wow. Man, that's so powerful. I said you were preaching. Now you start meddling. You know what that sounds like.
Stepping on them toes.
Stepping on them toes now.
Stepping on toes.
Oh, man. Well, Dee, I can only imagine, you know, gosh, you know, when you have the kind of year that you've had in 2020, where God has just put you in a position to influence and impact so many people, that, you know, he's speaking to you about the future. He's speaking to you about dreams. So I'd love to know, what do you sense is next? As you think about turning the page here in 2020, this is going to air at the end of 2020, so all of us are beginning to hopefully wrap our minds around 2021. What's God saying to you? What's next for you, for Common Hymnal? What's stirring in your heart?
You know, I was in a conversation. There's a new app called Clubhouse that's chat room only. Mm-hmm. And in it, they do a thing called Sunday Brunch, where they sort of talk about the state of the gospel music industry and things like that. What I was confronted with yesterday was in a sense, an industry, again, that I would love for us to lead the world in caring for the human form in the same way the God that we sing about does. And so what I'm looking forward to in next year and helping my church figure out, and the church as a whole, if I can, is let's reconfigure this Sunday thing. If we possibly can, by all means. We've seen now that the disruption of Sunday for a lot of churches means the end of the church. And that shouldn't, that just frankly should not be.
Should not be, you're right.
And so for me, I'm looking forward to next year helping all of us reconfigure what good church is. Mm-hmm. Personally with Common Hymnal, personally and with Common Hymnal, again, we're still rebuilding the car as we're driving down the road. We're not sure when real touring's coming back. Mm-hmm. We're not sure when concerts are coming back or anything of that sort. So we're still figuring out how to serve the community that we've made space for.
Yeah.
And, right. It's I'm laughing because, you know, in a way it's like, man, it wouldn't exist if we didn't build it. And now we have to figure out how to, you know, right. what I mean, keep it going. It's like, right. we're all here because of you. You know, like mm-hmm. folks with Moses. Mm-hmm. It's like, Moses, we're right. here because of you.
We're in the wilderness because of you. Right.
And now we're stuck. Like, and so for us, it's figuring out, like, you know, we've built this community, we created this space. Now how do we keep it healthy and thriving? Yeah. And we don't know. I don't have the answer to it. But I'm so much more passionate about now the care for the human form and how to how to help my church and our church, how to help the church see it differently.
Man, I love that. I love that. And I got a special announcement for our listeners at the end of our time about how we're going to get to partner with you in 2021 and hopefully toward that end. But man, I just got to thank you so much for making time and space to be with me, with us, with our listeners. Thank you for your gifts to the world and how you're using them to glorify God, how you're using them, I think, to raise important questions, to stir emotions, but also ultimately point to a God who, as you said so many times, has a deep, deep care for the human form in all of its shapes and all of its sizes and in all of its hues. And so every time we do this show, we wrap up with the same question. You are living this. You're living into what it means to be undivided. I'd love for you to just fill in that blank. What does it mean to you to live undivided?
Yeah, well, yeah. And thanks for having me as well. For me, again, it means a deep commitment to not get up from the table. No. When you hear things, you see things that obviously aren't harmful, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're just learning and you're trying to figure each other out, commit to not getting up and walking away. Commit to leaning in with your brothers and sisters so that God can be glorified in his church.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, we're going to pop up some ways that people can connect with you because I'm sure there are people who will want to do that. So yes, D Wilson Live on Instagram, and then Common Hymnal also has a handle on Instagram as well. So all the things that you're talking about in your future, we're going to be able to do that. So here's what I want to share with our listeners before we wrap up our time is that Undivided is going to be doing a special experience on Martin Luther King Day, the evening of Martin Luther King Day, a special web-based experience called Hindsight 2020. We're going to look back at 2020 and we're going to look forward at 2021 through the lens of what God is saying and what's happening in this moment around race. We've got some great guests. You're going to be part of it. And D Wilson's going to be our musical guest. That's right. So you're going to be able to hear the medicine and maybe something else, something unique and special that D's going to do specifically for people who jump into that. So you can find out about that event on Facebook at Living Undivided. We would love for you to be a part of that night. We think it's going to be powerful. D, we know it's going to be powerful when you show up and bless us with the gift that God has given you. And so, brother, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being with me today. And I want to thank all of our listeners for leaning in. I have hope for 2021. And one of the big reasons is because of amazing people like you that God is using in powerful ways.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Well, same here. And listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope that you'll join us for Hindsight 2020, January 18th. Where you're going to be able to hear from D. Wilson, and we're actually going to leave you with a little taste of the medicine as we wrap up today. Thanks for tuning in to Living Undivided. Ooh, ooh.
There's a sickness here that threatens to divide us, and we're all afraid to say its name out loud.